From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, psychic Joe Jacobs joins us. You're going to love it. Here's what's happening. The U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs could soon be required to undergo consistent regulatory health inspections of its hospital kitchens and report the findings to Congress, according to a Senate bill introduced today. Listen to this. It's called the RAID Act, requiring accountability and inspections for dining service. That's what it stands for. Would subject the VA to the same health standards as private kitchens, which includes shutting down the facility until problems are corrected. Now, the bill was introduced by Senator Mark Kirk, the Republican out of Illinois, after a conservative review investigation revealed allegations of a cockroach infestation so massive that the bugs were reportedly being served in food at a Chicago area VA hospital. Doesn't that make you cringe? Jeez. Subaru of America recalling 48,000 new U.S. vehicles because of a serious potential steering issue and warned owners not to drive them until they are inspected and repaired if needed. The unit of the heavy industry said the recall covers 2016 and 17 Legacy and Outback cars. Dealers will inspect and, if necessary, replace the steering column there. Seeking to protect its fragile spot as the number one appliance retailer in the United States, Sears is going to test a new smaller format specialty store that is roughly one-tenth the size of the big box department stores, and it could roll it out more quickly if pilots work here. The Sears store says it was opening the first such location, a 10,000-square-foot Sears appliance store in Fort Collins, Colorado. The first of a handful expected to open this year ahead of a potentially much larger rollout if the test works. Sears Appliances will offer the top 10 brands of refrigerators, dishwashers, washers, dryers, ranges, wall ovens, and vacuum cleaners. But right now, they are in trouble. Let's check in with registered investment advisor Miss Shedlock. Miss, retail in some cases truly in trouble, isn't it?
In a funk here. Sears is going to close 78 stores. It fell 11% today, lowest share price in 13 years. But, I mean, we all knew that Sears was struggling. But Macy's yesterday reported the worst sales, quarterly sales since the recession. Today, Nordstrom did the same. Same store sales down for the first time since 2009. Kohl's today, 87% decline in profits and an unexpected decline in sales.
And they're getting beaten up all over the stock market. Investors are running away from them, Mish.
They are. And the weird thing to me, George, is the analysts are struggling to figure it out. Actually, the corporations themselves, we're frankly scratching our head, you know, said the chief financial officer at Macy's. You know what? Amazon is cleaning their clock, but the analysts blame it all on Amazon. Amazon accounts for 6.7% of apparel sales. These other stores that I just mentioned, Macy's, Nordstrom's, Dillon's, Kohl's, and Ralph Lauren account for about 40%. So Someone that's accounting for 6% can't just be responsible for declines at 40% of retail. I think it's more fundamental, George. Who wants to spend $80 at a pair of jeans at Macy's or Nordstrom when they can, you know, maybe decide that they can get almost the same thing for 10 bucks at the Gap? Now, all of these stores have overexpanded. That's another thing. So they've hired all these people. What are they going to do, George? We've been talking about this now for at least a year, right?
At least a year. And what about the retail of these areas where these stores are in? Do they own all the properties or do they lease them?
Some of both. And the big thing is, George, if a flagship store, say a Macy's or someone, you know, leaves a mall when their lease is done, that mall is now toast.
Yeah, you're right about that.
That's what we saw happen in 2007. I think we're going to see it again. The Fed is still talking about hiking. You and I don't get it. I'm still not going to get it. GDP in the first quarter, 0.5%. This year, the New York Fed is estimating 0.8%. Fed going to hike into that? I don't think so, George.
You got Mish, thank you so much. Really appreciate what you do for us. In Pakistan, a self-claimed exorcist molested and tortured a girl to death. The residents of the area said that a person impersonated himself to be an exorcist, came to the village, talked a woman who took her 16-year-old sick daughter to him for spiritual remedy. The faith healer claimed some paranormal influences on the girl, easily fooled the mother by asking her to take the girl away to his residence, as the exorcism requires 4 days. Jeez. 9-year-old Tennessee girl, allegedly abducted by her uncle, was found safe after he was captured by two men who held him at gunpoint until law enforcement could arrive. Carly Marie Trent was found in Hawkins County, the rural part of eastern Tennessee. Her uncle, Gary Simpson, in custody now. Simpson is accused of taking Carly from her school on May 4th. What's incredible about this story, two men, Donnie Larson, Roger Carpenter, were checking on the property when they found Carly and her uncle on a trail only accessible by four-wheelers. They held him at gunpoint until police came. That's a miracle. Congressional Republicans and presumptive GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump began the process of narrowing their differences as the fractured party works to coalesce between the candidates. Although House Speaker Paul Ryan, again, stopped short of endorsing Mr. Trump, he said they found some common agreement on core principles when they met. Let's check in with Howard Bloom. Howard, I don't know. They haven't really gotten together yet, have they?
They have not really gotten together, and there's an earthquake that's taking place in both of our political parties, the Republican and the Democrat, and it's showing itself big time in these negotiations today. Donald Trump's win was a shock to Republican leaders. Bernie Sanders' win in West Virginia 2 days ago was a shock to the leaders of the Democrats. But the Trump shock is the worst. The question is, will the Republican Party survive it? And that's what today's meetings were all about. But here's the crux of the matter. This is going to sound very strange. Both the Republican Party and the Democratic Party have a problem. Part of their current approach is built on lies. Democrats say that Islam is a religion of peace. It is not. Political Islam, Islamism, jihadism, and Muslim extremism are not even what we in the West call a religion. They're a political and military doctrine. They're a political and military system as dangerous as revolutionary Marxism was in the 20th century. And you can just look at the violence that extreme Islam is creating in places like Iraq and Syria every single day for a good example. But the Republican lie is even closer to home. It says that liberalism is a job killer and that only conservatives can grow an economy. It says that Barack Obama is crippling our economy. And the facts say the very opposite. The George W. Bush Republican presidency, despite the problems you were just talking about in department stores, George W. Bush's Republican presidency created less than 8 million private sector jobs. Then it crashed our economy in 2008, and in that crash we lost nearly 9 million jobs. On the other hand, the Obama presidency, which we all criticize for a variety of reasons, has created 14 million private sector jobs to date. That's 500,000 more than the Reagan administration created. Hard to believe. But even the Reagan administration did miserably compared to another president, a president who created nearly 6 million more private sector jobs than Reagan. That miracle president for job creation was, and you have to brace yourself about this, Hillary Clinton's husband,
yep,
Bill.
Sure was.
In other words, of the four presidents, Reagan, Clinton, Bush, and Obama, only Clinton has beaten Barack Obama at private sector job creation. So does this mean liberal policies kill jobs? Well, apparently not. So we have two radical disconnects from reality: the Democrats' false claims about Islam and the Republicans' false claims about the economy. Now look, there's a guy named Antonio Damasio. He is a brilliant neuroscientist at the University of Southern California. And his work shows that when something is not working, we often understand that it's not right on a sheerly gut emotional level, but we're not able to articulate it. We can feel that something's wrong and not be able to say what it is. There is a good chance that the public senses the disconnects and the false claims of both the Republicans and the Democrats, and there's a good chance that the public is reaching out beyond the old political cliches for a new approach. Now, Bernie Sanders' new approach is to hate the super rich, Wall Street, and the banks, which I disagree with profoundly. Donald Trump's new approach is to hate immigrants and Muslims, and there's a lot to disagree with there. Donald Trump says if you believe in him and if you follow him, you will get rich. He says that he knows how to run an economy because he has known how to make himself money. In essence, Trump says forget the old formula of shrinking the government and giving privileges to the super rich. Forget the old conservative ideas of repealing the New Deal. Keep your Social Security and your Medicare, he says, and follow me. Great message. Sounds like preachers that we've both known.
Sure does. Howard, thank you so much. Appreciate you being on the program. Always appreciate your perspective. In Worcester, Massachusetts, a Massachusetts man accused of locking a Verizon worker inside an unventilated underground vault because he was upset that the worker parked on his grass has now pleaded guilty to kidnapping. The guy was able to get out when he used his cell phone to call police. Disrupting brain activity in sleeping mice, specifically during the rapid eye movement phase, can stop the animals remembering things they learned that day, according to a study. And the epidemic of disease threatens to overwhelm humanity in the next two decades. Up next, we talk about Medicine Beyond with Dr. Keith Scott Mumby on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. As I was mentioning, the epidemic of disease threatens to overwhelm humanity in the next two decades. Now they're talking about the possibility of canceling the Summer Olympics in Brazil because of the Zika virus, you know, caused by those mosquitoes. Well, with us, Dr. Keith Scott Mumby, back with us. The book is called Medicine Beyond. He received a Bachelor of Medicine and Bachelor of Surgery degrees. That's the British equivalent of the American MD. He then departed into alternative healing interests, studied alternative psychology and nutrition, opened one of the world's first alternative allergy clinics in Manchester, and the Food and Environmental Allergy Clinic is what it is called. He's been on Coast to Coast before, and he's on it now. Keith, welcome back.
It's nice to be back, George. Lovely to talk with you.
My gosh, so many things going on, but I want to get your take on this Zika virus. Is it as scary as everybody says it is?
Well, I don't know what you mean by everybody. The official line is it's terrifying and everyone should be getting vaccinated and treatment and so on. The actual hard-nosed approach to this is that this is a strange enemy. This virus has been around for decades. It's not caused anything more than a mild self-limiting illness. And now all of a sudden it's supposed to be responsible for anencephaly in babies or, you know, undersized brains and skulls in babies. I actually don't buy into it at all, George. If you look at where this started in Brazil, the story centered around this virus suddenly exploding and taking over and being an outbreak. Well, it's been there forever, so it certainly wasn't an outbreak. But the areas where they had this microcephaly in children is also an area of high pesticide volume. I mean, really high, like 100 times what you'd like in your backyard or anywhere near your backyard. And some of us are wondering if that's the real reason and whether the biotech companies are trying to blame or marginalize the Zika virus so that nobody will pay attention to what the real cause of this is. So I would say stay tuned. By no means is this a settled issue, and by no means is this a scary, horrific virus.
I always wonder if they create some of this to scare the living daylights out of us, Keith.
Well, of course, that's how you sell vaccines, you know, terrorize people. I mean, look what happened with the Ebola thing. Everybody, if there'd been a vaccine available at that time, everybody would have queued up and got it, despite the fact that the risks of catching it are really quite low here in the West. You know, the so-called Ebola disaster, I mean, it took place, George, in a population that's weakened by disease, by starvation. They don't even have good water. They're riddled with parasites. And so this virus attack is much worse for them than it would be in the West. I mean, nobody in the West actually died of it. I mean, there are only a few people came back, as you know, two or three had it. But nobody died because we have stronger bodies and stronger immune systems. So It's all about frightening and scare tactics. It sells meds. It sells the idea of vaccination. And you know what it's like. This is how medicine is run here in the U.S.
Your new work, Medicine Beyond, is much more than something alternative. It kind of dabbles with the science of physics and biology as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Well, by beyond, you know, I didn't mean just going further, but, you know, in other realms, other paradigms, other constructs. I mean, there's a whole new physics evolving now. Well, it's been out there some time, but I know you've had Wall Thornhill on the show, haven't you? Talking about his electric universe. This could be the model that takes over in the next 20 or 30 years. So any medicine that's based on the wrong physics paradigm isn't going to work well. And to me, that's what's happening. I think I've said this on the show before. If your physics is wrong, everything is wrong, because we base our biology and cosmology and all of these things on physics. And it seems to me that the current physics really hasn't got the story straight. They're still trying to patch up their story they've got about the Big Bang and the gravity universe and so on. The whole point of Medicine Beyond is I took up the new model, the electric universe. Even, I mean, whether there's gravity or not, it's not relevant. It is an electric universe. It's out there. It's flooding through space, and it interacts with all astronomical bodies, and including Earth and including us. And I took a look at the biology, or the electricity of biology, and, you know, it's amazing what's out there. The whole model of biology is based on stuff for conventional science, you know, biochemistry. But actually, the real definition of life, George, is an electrical potential. If you don't have that electrical potential at the cell membrane, it means you've got a corpse, you know.
It's not going to happen.
Living.
I always remember the Frankenstein movies. They always needed that burst of lightning to get him started. Remember?
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, Mary Shelley was not wrong. I mean, she wasn't a scientist, but she had a gut instinct, I guess. And that was true. You know, you can have a heap of stuff, and it doesn't do anything until that electricity appears. It's absolutely crucial to life. And you can boil nutrition down into electrical values, you know, that electrons, I mean, basically we eat sugars and foods like that that contain an excess of electrons. We need to breathe in oxygen that's happy to receive the electrons. And in that process of transfer, it releases energy, and that's really what propels life. So it's really very crucial to us. And yet, you know, conventional science is really missing the plot. I mean, they do recognize that electricity is there, but they keep saying, well, so what? You know, it's not important, or it doesn't do anything. But of course it does. It's very crucial. And that's what my whole book was about, really.
You've cited the story of about a girl, and you call her the Electric Girl. Tell us that story. This is amazing.
Yeah, Angelique Cotin. Well, first of all, let me say she's only one of many strange human beings that have fantastic electrical powers. Some of them glow in the dark, and some can light up an electric bulb just by picking it up. But this girl was exceptional, even in that exceptional group. It was in the 18th century in France, and she was called Angelique Cotin. And what happened, she suddenly had a sort of episode. It wasn't a lifelong thing, but all of a sudden, she had this fantastic power to throw furniture across the room. I don't mean pick it up and throw it. I mean, she had to touch it, and it went whang against the wall. And she was able to move really heavy furniture that a girl of her size couldn't possibly pick up. She was investigated by the French Academy of Science, and they came along, and four or five guys would try to hold down some furniture, and she would just still move it across the room as if it was of no significance whatsoever. There was no explanation for this. Nobody ever understood it, but they decided in the end that it was an unknown phenomenon. And of course, historically since then, people have said, well, it must have been some kind of a hoax. But how could a little girl, you know, perpetrate a hoax like that? As I say, she's not unique, you know.
Right.
She's had children and adults. You just, you know, touch them and it will knock you to the floor, knock an adult to the floor. Somehow these people pick up a huge electrical charge that's able to make these things happen.
And it's a little more than static electricity, isn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, these people have been tested every which way. And as I say, still, there's all kinds of trial explanations, like glowing bacteria and things like that.
Keith, we're going to take this quick break, and I want to come back and talk with you about the poltergeist phenomenon. another amazing story. Our special guest for the next hour and a half, Dr. Keith Scott Mumby. His latest work is called Medicine Beyond. He will tell you how you can take a peek at it, by the way. Pretty good offer that he's giving all our listeners. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Now, George Norrie here with Dr. Keith Scott Mumby as we are talking about Medicine Beyond. And Keith, before we get into the poltergeist phenomenon, there is you've got a special limited offer for our listeners. I'd love you to pass it on to them, if you would.
Yes, with pleasure. I've had a cut-down version of the book made, which we can give away free as a digital download. There's about 12 chapters out of 25. So it's a really good read, and there are no catches or anything like that. You can download it from my website, alternative-doctor.com/beyond.
And we've got a great link for everybody at Coast to Coast AM. And thank you for that, by the way. That's very nice of you to do that.
Well, I hope a lot of people take advantage of it. It will probably inspire them to want to read more, but they're certainly welcome to what's there.
All right, the poltergeist phenomenon. What is that with the work that you've done?
Okay, well, first of all, that's for those listeners that may possibly not know. Poltergeist is a German word that means a noisy ghost. And it's a phenomenon where things kind of crash, you know, crockery and things fall off the table, or ornaments fall over. Often CDs and things get strewn around the floor, and there's no explanation. You know, it's not a trick. There are no hidden wires or anything fooling. Nobody's fooling around. It really does happen in a strange psychic way. There are certain things we know. One is that there's virtually always a young person, a teenage person, who's probably in some kind of emotional turmoil and certainly hormonal turmoil. And this is quite characteristic, and we think it really stems from that person. It's very like the phenomenon I was just talking about, except that Angelique Cotin, the girl, she actually had to touch the furniture, or her dress had to brush it, and then it would move. But the poltergeist phenomenon, the person needs to be in the house, not necessarily in the room, but they need to be nearby, but not actually touch the object. And the thing is, the person's quite unconscious of that. It comes as a shock when the family realizes, you know, where it's coming from. And it does stem from one particular person, whereas the electric girl, I mean, she knew it was her. Everybody knew it was her. So it's a very similar phenomenon, but typically not as energetic or powerful as the French electric girl. She was moving furniture, George, you know, like things.
I know, that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's energy, isn't it? I mean, you know, energy itself is an amazing phenomenon.
That's right.
The real mystery is, how can that much energy go through a person without blowing their head off, you know? And yet somehow we seem to be able to handle that. In fact, we're very highly charged human dynamos. An English professor who's retired now, but he was called Robert Pethig, worked out that based on the energy gap potential of proteins, that a human being was generating something like 200 amps of power. Now, obviously, that doesn't flow, otherwise you'd be electrocuted instantly. But if you add up all the electric charge that's going on inside a human body, it's absolutely formidable. And it only has to be released in a suitable direction where it can take on the power, and who knows what it's capable of. It's almost certainly, in my view, and I've said this in the book, the probable explanation for levitation, that the human body will rise up above the earth if it gets a contra charge. So, you know, you get repulsion, positive and negative repulsion, easily able to lift a human body. So, you know, it's not really a mystery. The mystery is, well, how do we do it then, if that's the explanation? Why can't we all do it? And I haven't got that far yet in my research.
Now, you've got a possible explanation of alien abductions. I find this to be fascinating.
Yeah, well, I'd love to share that with this particular audience. I was talking about plasmas. Maybe I should back up just a tad and say plasmas are very common in this universe. 99.99% of everything in this universe.
And explain plasmas, if you would.
Yeah, is a plasma. Now, a plasma is kind of the fourth state of matter. We've got solids, liquids, and gases that everybody knows. And then a plasma is a cloud of particles, but it's where it's so fierce and ferocious that it's torn the atoms apart. So it's not a cloud of atom substance, it's a cloud of protons and electrons and things like that flying around, generating huge charge. There is such a thing, strange to say, as cold plasmas, which might not fit with what I just said. But in fact, plasmas are based on what we call charge separation. Providing you can separate the positively charged stuff from the negatively charged stuff, then in essence you've got a plasma, and there are cold plasmas. We think ball lightning, for example, might be something like that.
Huh.
If you've read any of the book, George, you'll know I've even speculated.
Yep.
These might be life forms.
Well, I was going to say, they may be alive, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're very similar to a life form that has a body. It's just a cloud of electrical charge. You and I are just a cloud of electrical charge. There just happens to be this mass in the middle of it called a body.
That's why when you meet somebody you like, you either get that spark or you don't.
we talk about the electricity, don't we, between people. There's more to it. Oh, in fact, well, I don't know if you know, but Wilhelm Reich, you know, he studied the electrical potential of kissing. Did you know that? He had couples wired up and their fingers dipped in saline and they kissed, and there was a woof of electricity. So there really is something to that word, electricity between couples. Anyway, back to the story, which was that, we all know what crop circles are. Nobody can fully explain them, but there seems to be some kind of unknown or unfamiliar, should I say, energetic phenomenon going on. Yes, you know, there are thousands of hoaxes, but there are enough real phenomena that we have to come up with an explanation. And I think some kind of plasma energy cloud is the likeliest explanation. We do know in the authentic ones, you know, that the grass is heated up, the nodes swell and burst and so on. And after that, for a considerable time, electrical equipment won't work. I first came across this in studio with the BBC. I was there being interviewed myself. But while I was waiting in the green room, Pat Delgado and his friend, I've got the other guy, but anyway, they wrote the first book on crop circles, and they said they took electrical equipment into the middle of a circle and it wouldn't work. You know, the cameras wouldn't work. They'd step out and it would work just fine. So they step back in the circle and it wouldn't work again. So that's the end of any idea of a hoax. You know, you can trample out a circle, but you can't put that sort of phenomenon into a circle. The story that most fascinates you, George, is a guy called Robert van der Broek in Holland was near a crop circle when it was forming, and he saw a light coming down. It hit the crop, and the crops were spun aside. And at that moment, he felt himself going faint and weak, and actually floating upwards, feeling. Now, remember what I just said about charge. This is probably a very real levitation.
Right.
There's no reason to presume that the guy was deluded or hallucinating. But it struck me that that was very like the description that people might give of an alien abduction. You know, they go unconscious, they find themselves floating upwards in their last moment of consciousness. He simply woke up next to the circle. There was a fully formed circle, and an hour later he came around. There's a very striking similarity, isn't there? And that might be what's actually happening, not necessarily crop circles, but some kind of, you know, a ball lightning or cold plasma phenomenon takes place near a person. It affects their immune systems, their nervous system, so effectively they become kind of anesthetized, go dreamy.
There seems to be an intelligence, though, behind this, Keith.
Well, remember what I was just saying about I've got no problem with the possibility that there is intelligent life in a plasma or a ball lightning ball. I'm okay with that, so I don't see why not. And listen, I'm not saying it's not possible that there's a real UFO up there somewhere and they really do go after Mars.
And they're controlling this, maybe.
Yeah, I'm just saying that there is another phenomenon taking place, or does take place, that may explain some of them. So, you know, I'm not saying I've solved the whole abduction phenomenon, but it's a very interesting parallel, isn't it?
It really is.
I mean, that's how science moves forward. You know, you see something and you see something else and think, wait a minute, there's something connected with those two.
How powerful is the human body when it comes to all of this?
Well, let me tell you what I call radio human. I love this.
Radio human.
Yeah, we can transmit right around planet Earth. That's how good we are. If a human being was to sort of concentrate and really focus and, you know, and go with an internal energy, we can actually push up a kilowatt maybe just for a few moments. Now, a kilowatt's easy enough to transmit a radio message right around planet Earth. We also, if a human being stands upright with arms above your head and that's exactly like a guru posture, you know.
Like an antenna, I guess.
Yeah, then you're exactly the right length for a quarter dipole aerial for a frequency of 30 megahertz or 10 meters wavelength. What does that mean? Well, the important point is that's the longest wavelength or the shortest frequency that will bounce around the underside of the ionosphere, meaning it won't evaporate off into space. It'll bounce around and could reach anywhere on Earth. So your religious guru figure standing there with arms above his head, emanating messages and power and energies, is actually transmitting. And it's one of my ambitions in this lifetime to actually get some kind of detector going. The problem we've got is not that people can transmit. That's a given. I've just got to prove that story. The problem is, how would you pick out the transmission, you know, and all the babble of 7 billion people? How would you know that this particular person transmitting? I've got to crack that one. I've asked Bill Tiller, and he's thinking about it, but nobody's come up with a solution yet. Any one of the listeners can think of a solution to that, please get in touch with me. We would love to be able to get a radio set for radio.
That's amazing.
We've got the transmitter, which is you and me. We just want the receiver.
Does that explain telepathy?
I think it could. I think it very well could. I mean, there is an element in us, I've written about this in the book too, which is clearly non-material. So we don't have to look for physics explanations exactly, although physics explanations are attractive. I think there's a non-material element too. And our non-materiality means none of the usual stuff, you know, matter, energy, space, and time. So we can interact at infinite distances through infinite time, infinite space, and so on. That's probably the real explanation of telepathy. But, you know, people who get really powerful emotional surges and their bodies are in turmoil and running these huge energy charges can be picked up by family and friends. You know, people know there's something wrong. You know, I feel it's wrong. They get on the phone and say, what's happening? I can feel something. And there's some pretty scary documented stories, you know, of cases like that where somebody hundreds of miles away has been able to exert a very powerful influence. So I think the physics is interesting and is relevant, but I'm certainly not decrying the sort of non-material aspect of that too, George.
Now, you have looked at, of course, the power of energy fields around people as well. We've called them the auras. And can you determine by the energy whether somebody's healthy or not, where they have a great personality or they're, you know, psychic vampires? Is that all tied together?
Yes, I think it is. And there are people who are definitely energy drains and people who are definitely energy contributors. You know, they're a plus and they're nice people to be around. You can measure an electric aura. I think it's more than that. I think there are, you know, emotional and psychic bodies around us as well. More, not so much, I'm not doing the kind of spooky stuff, but more to do with the morphogenetic field type of thing. You know, like there's a field creation phenomenon that is superordinate to the actual physical thing you see. I've been writing about this for 20 years, but Rupert Sheldrake, of course, goes back before that. He came up with this theory. In fact, it goes back to a German guy called Driesch that thinks that the human body has a sort of blueprint form which it grows into. And on the last time you talked with me, I think I said that DNA is probably transmitting this form field. So there is a kind of creative, constructive field surrounding us that puts us there. But it's loaded with energy. As I said, it's got all this electrical energy. Listen, the whole point of Medicine Beyond is that if it's an electrical universe, we are electrical, an electrical phenomenon. And that's what life really seems to be. And I don't know why conventional science isn't getting it, and they're just stuck on the, you know, the biochemistry, the stuff, the molecules.
Tell us about the vagus nerve stimulation. This is incredible.
Oh, yeah. Well, it springs from a therapy technique that we call microcurrent therapy. The Scanner, you remember when I first came on, it was a big hit. Everyone wanted to know about the Scanner. People still ask me about the Scanner, having listened to that broadcast with you years ago. It's now grown. There are other devices. We call it generically microcurrent therapy. And one of the applications is stimulating the vagus nerve. Now, the vagus nerve is a huge cranial nerve that comes down and goes to all parts of the body, all organs. And it speaks to things like the spleen, the kidneys, the gut, the heart, and so on. And it does a massive job of regulating things. It's basically a parasympathetic nerve, which means it calms and soothes. You know, the sympathetic system jags you up and gets you excited, flight or fight, and so on. Well, the parasympathetic's the opposite. It calms and soothes. And it's been found that if you stimulate the vagus nerve, you can switch off inflammation just about instantly, within the hour. So these micro-monitory devices, yeah, you put them over the vagus nerve, just under the ear, just be slightly behind the ear.
And it won't hurt you, right?
Say again?
It won't hurt.
Oh, no, it doesn't hurt. Not unless some fool turns the voltage up too high, but that's not necessary. You know the basic principle in biology, George, which is a little is good. More just suppresses it.
That's right.
So turning it up is no good. But listen, the amazing part of this story I've got to share with the listeners is that this is now mainstream science. GlaxoSmithKline have put $50 million into this. And they've come up with a small, tiny implant electrode that you have to operate, you know, open the neck and attach it to the nerve. So that's not very holistic. I don't think that's the way to go. You can actually stimulate the nerve through the skin. But look, isn't that amazing that the pharmaceutical industry is taking an interest in these electronics? In fact, we have this whole word now, electroceuticals, to go along with, you know, pharmaceuticals, nutraceuticals. We've now got electroceuticals, and it's exciting that, you know, conventional science and the big pharma industry is at least paying some attention, because it's absolutely remarkable what you can do by stimulating the vagus nerve. Within hours, you can suppress the symptoms, and within days, the whole, you know, autoimmune disease or rheumatoid arthritis, all of these things transform because inflammation is quashed in the body. Very exciting new development, I've got to tell you. And I've been using it for a time now, and I'm just gobsmacked with the results. It's amazing.
That is incredible. Absolutely. Where do you find these little devices?
Well, you know, as I said, GSK and the pharmaceutical industry, they're doing tiny microscopic things that need surgery.
Is this the same as one of those little TENS machines that we hear so much about?
Not quite. Microcurrent therapy it's more like the Scanner I told you about originally. We now have some better devices, but there's still generically that family is known as the Scanners. They produce a very small microcurrent across the skin that is modulated to have different characteristics, you know, like waveforms and frequencies and gap intervals and so on. That will penetrate through the skin for at least a few millimeters, so you can easily reach the nerve, which lies below the skin and doesn't need anything invasive. So, you know, we're ahead of them there. We've been doing this in holistic medicine for quite a few years now, whereas the excitement's only just burst in the last 12, 24 months in conventional medicine. They've just cottoned on, as it were. So they're easily available. I mean, if somebody comes to my website and hunts around, they'll type in microcurrent therapy or Scanner, they'll find something like that. In fact, I'm pretty sure I've included that chapter as well in the cut down.
Good for you. That's exciting.
It's one of the most listen, George, I've called it medicine's greatest revolution. I believe it's bigger than anesthetics. I think it's bigger than antibiotics. I think electrical therapy, or especially microcurrent therapy, is the next big thing in medicine.
You may be right. Keith, stay with us. We're going to come back for more in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM.